Deeper Life teaching, and we were having where we are to move on to perfection. God is working within us to be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and we're seeing that this perfection is a perfecting of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We've also been looking at Gideon's army, a type of overcomers, those chosen for the last day that we'll go through. We discussed where we see that this is God's choice, and we know whether we're called for this by the way we react, by the way we yield to the Spirit, and hopefully by the very fact that we're all here tonight together to listen to the Word. So these are all signs that we're on the way, we're on the right path, and that God in His mercy and grace is working in and through us. Well, tonight I want to look at something that's not new to us, but we still need to look on these areas. And our title tonight that we're going to discuss is Romans 8:28 should stop us asking why. Romans 8:28 should stop us asking why. Now, we should all know what Romans 8:28 says in God's Word. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." That is what it says. And this is in the great chapter of chapter 8 of Romans, that speaks about sonship, that speaks about groaning creation that is going to be released, and how the church is to prepare herself for the final battle to restore all things. For God indeed is going to use the church, the overcomers, in which to restore and bring God's people, creation, back to its order. Jesus has already done it at the cross, and now we are to appropriate it by faith. That is the revelation, the vision of the last days. And I believe anything that is outside that, anything that is different, is not really measuring up to God's purpose, His plan for the end time. Anything that doesn't measure up to this is smaller than God's plan. And that is the tragedy that is found so much in Christendom. That in Christendom, it's so involved in what it wants to do. It's so involved in just converting the world. But the world's conversion relies also on restoration and groaning creation being restored and brought back in harmony with God. So the picture is far larger. The picture is far bigger than you, your trials, your home, your situation, your job, your life. What God is doing in and through us is far greater and far bigger. And the only way we're going to embrace this is when we get delivered from self and still keep asking why every time a trial comes along. It means that all the while we're still asking why this shouldn't be, or whatever it is, it's still showing that we are still absorbed with ourselves, our own program, what I'm doing, instead of embracing and seeing the greatness of the kingdom of God and what God ultimately wants to do through you and me, Full Gospel Assembly and other saints and assemblies that are going on. This is far greater and bigger. So we're going to look at this evening, Romans 8:28 should stop us asking why. You see, the inner meanings of the trials of faith, you know, today are often misunderstood. You see, if you don't understand verse 28, or you try and avoid it, you'll seek at any cost in going through a trial, asking out why. Why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be. This shouldn't be now I'm saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. If we avoid such verses like verse 28 of Romans 8, then we're going to still see the trials of our faith strange, odd, shouldn't be happening, and asking questions. And not only that, but going off, going in a sulk or angry with God or deviating or compromising, all these things that we have all done in the past. But praise God, in his mercy and grace, he doesn't let us go, and he continues to work with us until he gets us to a place to show us that the trials that we go through, the trials of our faith, are connected with this verse. Because we know, that's what it says, or you should know, that all things are working together for good if you love God and you're called according to his purpose, his plan. So there is nothing, each day that we go through is not working together for good, no matter how small or how great. And there is an entering by rest in this. And part of that rest, which comes by faith, is stop asking why. And you've done it, and I've done it in the past, and guess what? God doesn't tell you anything. And there is a reason why he doesn't tell you. Because so often, what he's doing, the plan that he's working in the church and in your life and my life, is so big that sometimes God cannot communicate it to you because you wouldn't at the moment understand. But you can be well assured that what God is doing is far bigger than you and your problem and your life and what you're involved with. God wants us released from all of that anxiety, that fear, that tension that still holds to this. And this is why trials in Christendom are so often misunderstood, and why we see the reactions that we do, and why so many are running away or run to the arm of the flesh for help, for assistance, instead of trusting God and looking to him, waiting on him until he works his plan in and through each of us. There is coming an hour and a time, brothers and sisters, when it will be futile running to the arm of the flesh, for the arm of the flesh will not be able to help you. The arm of the flesh will not have the answers that you want, for they can only come from God and God himself. And all the while we're still running and depending on the arm of the flesh is indicating or telling us we're still asking why. And so we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work this in and through us so that we can, in the end time, totally stand by faith, the same as faithful Abraham did. and others. We see all the saints where God worked with them to bring them to that strong place of faith to stand and totally trust him, because they were not confused by when the trials come, because they knew that there was a purpose and a reason, and it's greater and bigger. This is always what it is. And so we have to move on. We've got to move on with this, because if we don't, it's going to stop us from being first fruits unto the Lord. And there is first fruits to be brought in to be presented upon the altar, which is an indication of the harvest that is to come from the world in these last days. But this first fruits is the sons of God who mature in the faith, who grow up and start to walk by faith and not by sight. That is what God is looking for now in these last days. And that is why we spoke in length last time about Gideon's army, which is a spiritual type in these last days. God reducing down until he sees those who are partaking spiritually of the word, that water, who are ready, who are trained to go in for the last final conflict and battle that the church must face. Most go back. Most don't have a heart for battle, for spiritual warfare. Most don't even want to understand it. Most want to leave it to somebody else to do the praying. But God has to work through each of us, and we make ourselves available for God to work in and through each one of us. And so our trials are to produce the character of who? Jesus Christ in you and I. That's what our trials are to do. And that is why it's no good running away every time a trial comes, or turning your ear against the word of God, or not wanting to hear certain things, or maybe you don't want to even hear this teaching tonight because of trials. It's entirely up to us. But the trials are to produce the character of Christ in each one of us. Nothing could be greater than Jesus Christ revealed in and through us, for he's the only one. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that we follow. He's the one that we pray in and through. There is nobody else. There is no other name in heaven and earth, which is the name of Jesus. And that is the very character and person of Christ that's working in and through each one of us. And guess how he's doing it? Is through our trials. You see, the nature of our trials is to perfect us, what? In love. Love, which is the perfecting of the fruit of the Spirit. So that is the perfecting work that our trials is ultimately to do. So you can have a vision in your next trial, and you can confidently say, this is working and perfecting the love of Christ in and through me for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ. That is ultimately its goal, because we're told by the fruit you shall know them. So your trial, or your trials that you went through last week, is ultimately perfecting the love of Christ in and through us. That is what it's about. And when you start to embrace that and you want that, you'll stop asking why. Because you've got your answer. You won't begin to think it's strange anymore. This is working the love of God in me, which is what it's all about. That's what I'm saved for. You see, at times we go through similar trials, don't we? Or we go over them again and again, the same type of trial. Why? Because we refuse to die at that point. And you know if you are dead or not in a trial. It's very simple. You'll stop asking why. When you stop asking why, the cross has done its work. You are settled on Romans 8:28. Don't understand this. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I'm going through this. It shouldn't be, but I'm not going to ask any questions, because this is all working together for good, as Romans 8:28 says. And all I know is this trial is working the love of God in me. Period. That's all you need to know. That's all God wants you to know. And the reason that we retract in our trials, or the reason that we compromise in our trials, is because pride within us still wants to know. I have a right to know. No, we don't. Not if we're disciples. We've yielded our life over to God. We've put our hands to the plough. We've forsaken all in this life. We have no right. If God does show us, then that's grace and mercy. But he isn't going to tell us. He'll only tell you that I'm working my love in you. So we need these right heart and attitude in the trials that we go through. Because this is going to help us to rest in the Lord. This starts to deal with stress, worry, anxiety, fear, and all those things that can be attached with these trials. Yes, I know it hurts, and yes, the flesh is hurting. But the point is, in the heart, in the inner man, there is a stillness, there is a peace, there's an anchoring that is so essential for our trials. That's why. And so you see, with these trials, we have to pass the test. We're all in different grades, and we're all going higher and higher until we get the high level that God sees fit. Sounds similar, doesn't it? Sounds like being at school. This is why I keep saying that our meetings are really like going to school. And then we have the test, and we see how we fare in the test. And if we fail it, we're going to sit it again. And if we fail it, we're going to sit it again, and again, and again, until finally we're willing to die. We're going to let the cross do its work. And that is the grace and mercy of God. That is where he doesn't give up on us. He continues to work with us till all of this drops from our head to our hearts. Hallelujah. We will praise and thank him. We will lay our crowns before him on that day when we are presented before his throne. And we will thank him for his infinite wisdom in all of this, his patience, his long-suffering. We'll finally see the wisdom and mind of God that was behind all the fiery trials that we went through. But until then, we walk by faith. And we allow this to work through unity, fellowship, and love in our hearts. Hallelujah. You see, I know that one of the hardest areas is when you are being tried, particularly we're righteous, we haven't done anything, and yet here we find ourselves being tried, going through a fiery trial or whatever it is, and it's very easy to say, well, whatever have I done to deserve this? This, of course, is always the big, great question amongst Christendom, is why do the righteous suffer? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. We know this well, but just to remind ourselves in the context of what we're looking at tonight. In Matthew chapter 5, where he's just giving the Beatitudes here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, and here he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The same as they persecuted Jesus. Why? Because it's Romans 8, 28. That's why they're rejoicing. And you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Done nothing wrong. And yet you're misused or abused, lied. They steal from you. They say all manner of things against you. Rejoice. Yes, it can be even difficult when it can happen amongst the circumcised, those who profess in Christ. Jesus himself, his own people, put him to the cross. But he didn't think it strange. It was the will of his Father. He obeyed. And it's also the will of your Father, in which you too obey. For we walk in his ways and in his likeness. Why am I stressing all of this? Because this is so attached to the deeper life teaching. This is part of the deeper life teaching where we're being prepared. We're being prepared through the furnace, through the purifications of fire. And these trials are to prepare you and are preparing you to pull down strongholds, to meet the Jerichos, and to watch how the Lord will bring down those walls of Jericho. All supernatural. We looked at how on Sunday, through Gideon, the 300, how the Midianites destroyed themselves. It's supernatural. And this is what God is doing with us in preparation. It's all part of it. And we have to learn to submit to his yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me." It's not a burden. It's actually light. The burden comes when we disobey, when we fight against God's will, when we refuse to die. Brothers and sisters, you have to submit to your own funeral. And if you haven't, you've got to. And then God can start to do that work in and through us. And he's bringing each of us to this place. This is why we're all on a journey. But the ultimate aim is the same for all of us. But we've got to submit to him. That's why we don't think it strange. Some may think it really strange listening to this teaching tonight. Some may think, who is this guy? He lives on another planet. But it is the word of God. It is God's will. It is his heart. Our trials are to work the love of God in each of us. Because the love of God builds the body of Christ in true unity, oneness, and fellowship. Can't be built in any other way. And it is built by the fiery trials that we go through. And when we finally stop asking why in these trials, then we start to find ourselves maturing and growing up as the sons of God, which we should be. There's still too many of God's people running around like headless chickens. Can't understand why this is happening to me. Why is this trial happening? And so on. They're all there. It's for a purpose and a reason. This is why we adhere to Romans 8:28. We don't think it's strange. That is the whole point. Let's look at some other scriptures with regards to this. We know these well in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 to 7. Well, actually, go from verse 5, because that's a good building on this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though if it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There we are. Precious. It's because of your faith. It's because of the fruit of the Spirit. But notice he gives the clue to this. Why we're not burnt up. Why it is we don't all run away. Because verse 5 tells us, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That is why we're here tonight. That is why we stand here and praise God and say amen. Because my life is kept by the power of God. And even when I go through a trial, it is the power of God keeping me in that place. Thank God for this. This is why we have everything on our side, everything available for us to be able to make this in and to make it through. Brothers and sisters, we need to wake up to what we are being prepared for. We are shortly to be used for this last day. And you are very instrumental in the releasing of all of this. The manifestation of the sons of God is not far away. We are facing the greatest onslaught the church has ever faced in her history. And God will win this because he will have an army who are yielded, who will move with him, who will seek him, who will be led by him. The sons of God will walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That is why most have to go back, because they couldn't walk this. We noted on Sunday, Gideon's army, they all had to obey. They all had to take the orders. The 300 had to be all in unison, obedient for that great battle to be won. And that's the perfecting work God's doing in you and me. And much of our strength lies in true unity and fellowship. And that is why our trials are working the love of God in our hearts for that. Let's make no bones about it. Hallelujah. Let's look at, as we bring this to conclusion now, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 to 14. Verses 12 to 14. And here we see where suffering is for God's glory, his ultimate glory. In 1 John chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 12 to 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Oh, listen to that wording. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And he goes on, if you're being reproached for Christ, you are blessed, and so on. So there we are again, this idea of thinking it not strange. Why? Because Romans 8, 28 tells us. That's why. So there is nothing in your life, my life, that should be strange, that is not part of God's will, his plan. Even your failings, and yes, even your sin, your rebellion. Not that we rely on that, not that we cheapen the grace of God, but the fact is, if you are a true overcomer, then you know that everything is working together for good. And that God is going to bring everything in your life in complete harmony with his will, because he is sovereign. And he does that on the basis that you are willing to let him do it. He never forces anyone into any of this, but he will do it. And you will know the power of God working on your behalf to fulfill that. But brothers and sisters, we have got to learn these lessons, that where we are still kicking against God, we have got to allow the Holy Spirit to put to death those areas that still won't yield over to the Lord. And he will do it. He will do it. And part of your trials is indeed tailor-made in which to work that in your life, my life. We're told, aren't we, that even Jesus had to go through much trial to learn obedience. He too was taught that. So how much more us? So that is the title we've been looking at this evening. Romans 8, 28 should stop us asking why. It's no good asking why, because God isn't going to answer you. You will know when you please God, when you go through your trials, you just yield over to it and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you through, because he'll bring you through purged and purified. And he's bringing us through like gold, because that's what these trials are tailor-made for each one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, again this evening, we know we've heard this many times, but we know that you give us a word in season. And we have need of hearing this tonight. We thank you, Father, that you have what we go through with our trials. You're completely in control. You will not let those trials destroy us. You will not let those trials cause us to go away. But they are so designed, permitted, that they will bring more and more the love of Christ in each of us. Let us not lose sight of this. Father, help us to see this and to rest in this. We know sometimes our trials can bring us to a point where we just can't take any more. We feel that we're just crumbling. We're going completely under. And yet, there you are, by the power of God, holding us, keeping us safe, keeping our heads spiritually above water, because you're with us going through it. Father, help us to see the greater, bigger picture in all of this. Help us to see what the deeper life is about and why we have been chosen and called from such a generation. Father, it is a great privilege and a great honour to actually be called for this. And forgive us, Father, that we don't really fully understand this. We've still been so consumed with ourselves, our own lives, our planning and scheming and what we want to do. But Lord, what a privilege. How wonderful that, Father, we, out of all generations, are called to be part of the Bride of Christ, to be called to be that generation who is going to be used to restore and bring back groaning creation, to be part of the Bride of Christ, making herself ready to rule and reign with you. Lord, open our ears and eyes and hearts. Help us, Father, to understand this more and more, that we may praise you and glorify you and give you all the glory. Thank you tonight, Father, for our fellowship. Thank you for bringing us into this room. And may we take what we've heard tonight and talk and converse with you. May it be our source of prayer and seeking you, that you will do this work in and through our lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.